That's an important question. Do they see Jesus in us? Thank you, ladies. Let's take our Bibles today and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 6. Revelation 6 and verse number 6. They see someone in us, don't they? They see us or the Lord. It's about Jesus. This world needs to see Jesus. And they're certainly not going to read their Bibles, but they're going to read us, so got to be a good testimony, all of us, myself too. Keep that consciously. You got to do that conscientiously. It just can't be, you know, something you just hope happens. You got to do that on purpose. See that you walk circumspectly, the scripture says. Appreciate that. Good to be back. Last week ago, Wednesday, we went to Dunellen, Florida, to Riverland Baptist Church down in Dunellen, for the midweek service Wednesday. And it starts out with, and here comes the graduates from the Christian school. So that was our midweek service. Sunday morning, I was too sick to go to church, so we watched live stream the Sunday school, and then we switched over to see Brother Mike Wapinski preach. He's going to be the one that takes over for Pastor Walt Smith. That's his son-in-law down there at up there at Heritage Baptist in Ocala. And I was able to get there Sunday night and preach for Pastor Smith. Had a good time. Pastor Smith has a lot of health problems. And I'm glad Brother Mike's there to take his place. Amen. We need young men. We need young men that'll stand in the gap and take over. He's a good man. Mike's a good man. He married his youngest daughter, Rachel. And a wonderful young man, 32 years old, and just, boy, does he love the Lord, and it's obvious, so. Revelation 6 and verse 6 says, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." This week, I want to speak this morning on the subject of another sign of the times. Another sign of the times. And I was not supposed to speak. Brother Sorensen was, and all week long, Wednesday, and so. I wanted to share this. Doesn't really fit our theme for the day. Especially when I develop this message, and then we go downstairs and eat. But the nation of India, made the news a week ago by their decision to not export any wheat to any countries in the world. They were scheduled to export 10 million tons of wheat this year, which would have been an all-time record. Never has a nation ever exported 10 million tons of wheat to other nations. But they changed their mind, and they decided not to do it. And we see that wheat here has a part in end-time events in chapter 6 and verse 6, which we'll come back to. And can you imagine being one of those nations where you are waiting on the wheat, all promised, and to feed your people, and then they decide we're not going to export any of it. We're going to keep it all. There's an interesting verse about that in Proverbs. I'll read it to you. It says this in chapter 12, verse 26. "He that withholdeth corn shall the people curse. But blessings shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." Corn, wheat, and grain are synonymous in Scripture. Come from the same word. "He that withholdeth corn shall the people curse." And that's basically what we heard if you've been following this story. I know we've been distracted with Buffalo and the horrible events down there. But if you've been following this kind of caught my attention because of my interest in biblical prophecy. Wheat has a part in biblical prophecy. Now they said the two words, the two reasons why is because to feed their own people. They are one of the largest countries in the world. There's a website, it's a very interesting website, it's called Worldometer, one word, Worldometer. And they update things every day. As of yesterday, there was 1.402 billion people living in India. Only China at 1.444 billion has more. They have a lot of people in India. And that was one reason they said we need this wheat to feed our own people. And then the second reason is because of the extremely intense scorching heat wave that they're having over in India, where they're not even sure what kind of a crop they're going to get. And if you hear reports like this on the news and you're thinking biblically, all of a sudden you start tying these events to Scripture. And this is not the fulfillment of Revelation 6 and verse 6. But this is a sign, an indicator of what could be coming very soon on the earth. These four horsemen of the apocalypse begin to ride here in chapter 6 and verses 1 through 8. And you have the white horse and the red horse and the pale horse. And then the one of the four beasts says that at the beginning of the tribulation period, now this is where the tribulation period begins. If you know anything about prophecy, you know there's going to be a rapture, a catching away of the body of Christ into heaven. Every single person who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit will be removed from the earth at that moment. According to 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 2, verses 1 through 12, everyone, the Holy Ghost will be taken completely out of the... And then after that begins 7 years of tribulation on earth, such as the world has never seen before. And the description of that 7 years starts right here in chapter 6 and goes through chapter 18 in the book of Revelation. What's going to happen during those 7 years? And right exactly at the beginning, there's going to be all kinds of death and violence, including this verse we read today, verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, as you study the Bible, you have to study it in its context and not think of things from an American point of view. You know, you and I would read that and say, oh, isn't that great? Man, you get a whole quart of wheat for a penny. What a deal. But that's not the context. Now, the word measure of wheat is about equal to our quart. This was a quart from some strawberries I bought this week. But if you can imagine that being filled with wheat, that very soon, I don't know when the rapture is going to take place. Please understand that. I'm not a date setter, never have been, never will be. Could be 10 years from now, 20 years, could be 100 years from now. But boy, it just seems like we're getting near the last of the last days here. And if you fill that up with wheat, that is going to cost someday a penny. Now, a penny was a Roman silver coin that represented a day's wages. Much different than a copper penny, which interestingly used to have wheat on the back of it. Some of you maybe collect wheat pennies. Mercedes collects wheat pennies. You got a lot of them, right? A whole bunch of wheat pennies. They'll be worth something someday. But we're not talking about an American copper coin. We're talking about a Roman silver coin that represented a day's wages. So let's pretend you earn $500 a week net. You work 5 days. What would that cost you? $100. Let's say you earned $1,000 a week net. That costs 1 day wages. You work 5 days a week. What would that cost you? $200. Now, wheat is the staff of life. Some of you never heard of that, but the Bible says it's the stay and the staff. What does that mean? That means that whole wheat, the way it's grown, is such a perfect food that if that's all you had to eat, you could stay alive just like the children of Israel did with manna for 40 years in the wilderness. It's got all the sterols in it, all the lipids in it, and all the nutrition. If you had that much wheat, and we're talking about raw, pure wheat, we're not talking about what we eat today regarding bread after the processing and almost nothing's left. But if you could go out to a wheat field and take the kernels and fill this up with just raw wheat kernels, that would represent 1 day's worth of nutrition for one man. One man could live on that much wheat for 1 day. It would be enough nutrition for one man. Not for his family, but for him. So he would have to pay an entire day's wages for enough nutrition to keep himself alive. That is what chapter 6 and verse 6 is illustrating to us. And that's coming on the earth. And if the rapture should take place today, this would be happening probably within months of today on this earth. Now, I'm not trying to start a panic. I'm going to tell you what to do here towards the end of the sermon. But I'm just trying to tell you that wheat is the staff of life. Not only do we need it to live on, and you can try, you can live on lettuce and fruits and vegetables and nuts and so on, goes for pretty far, but you need some of the things that wheat adds to your diet to have a good nutritional plan for your body. But we hardly get anything from the wheat today that the way God made it. Wheat is the staff of life. The Bible says so. And that's why it's been called. Some of you old timers, remember, used to hear that. Wheat is the staff of life. Not only ours, but a lot of the animals. Do you like hamburgers? I had a ribeye steak at Carrabba's this week down in Florida. I never eat steak, but I did that day. Because one of you gave us a good gift card for Carrabba's. And we said, there's a Carrabba's. We don't see Carrabba's up here. So we had a ribeye steak. But anyway, there's no ribeye steaks if there's no wheat. Because there's no cows. Wheat is not only the staple and staff of life for us and the stay of life, but for them too. And so much is tied to wheat. And the Bible says it's going to get so bad someday. Now, I think what we've seen this week and what we see setting up with the food supply shortage and the mismanagement of government, Mao Zedong, when he was in charge of China, starved 40 million people of his own people, Chinese, to death. That's one of the worst ways to die because of mismanagement. Well, he lived high on the hog. 40 million. You and I can't imagine that number. In China, starved to death. They could find no food, not because there wasn't food. God's made enough food for all of us. It's a distribution problem. And it's a satanic problem. behind these things. And I don't know what we'll see in America, but we've seen some signs of baby formula, and through COVID you couldn't find this or you couldn't find this, and we got all these big box stores and they're so easily controlled. We don't have much mom and pops anymore. When America started, even in the pioneer days, 95% of Americans were farmers. 5% held other jobs. Today, 5% are farmers. 95% of Americans do something else besides farming. We are dependent on the 5% to plant the food, harvest the food. We're dependent on the truckers to bring the food, and now I don't know what they're paying for diesel to bring it to the processing plant and then to the stores, and then the stores have to take it and display it. And it's we have become presumptuous. David prayed in Psalm 19, "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins." Understand that the grocery store is really a Johnny-come-lately to the human race. It's not like there has always been Wegmans or Tops or, remember the old ones, Super Duper, Bells, Walmarts. And if we're not careful, we will become presumptuous, and David called presumption a sin, where we will just think, well, Wegmans will always be there. And Tops will always be there. But we have caught glimpses in the last few years because of COVID of how much can be controlled so quickly. So quickly. Now, the leading producer of wheat in the world is China. Well, that's going to help. Did you know China has bought millions of acres of land in America where they grow wheat and send it back to their country? We're smart, aren't we? 134 million tons. They're number one. India, number two, 108 million tons. Guess who's number three? Russia. Boy, that's going to help us. 86 million. Number four, United States, 50 million. That's about one-third of what China does. I'll come back to the United States. Number five, Canada, 35 million tons of wheat they produce. France, 30. Pakistan, 25. Ukraine, number eight. I'll bet they're having problems planting their wheat this year. 25 million tons. Germany, 22. Turkey, 20. Between these top 10, that's 535 million tons of wheat, and right now there is not one of them that is exporting or is a big supplier left on the market to the world. And if you know anything, when people get hungry, their whole demeanor changes. There's not one of these 10 that is a leading exporter of wheat anymore. Now let's go back to America. We're number four. America right now is having a problem with severe drought. And as of May 17th, now today's May 22nd, it's 5 days old. 43.98% of our country is in severe drought. Now, we don't think like that because we're in Western New York. We're hoping it stops raining someday so we can get some work done. In the continental United States, 52.54% of the lower 48 states are in severe drought right now. You know, Matthew and Mark and Luke talked in their prophecies, quoting Jesus, that in the last days there would be famines. Now, I know if we're not careful and our American pride gets in the way, we might start to say, well, that would never happen to us. But a lot of these areas where the severe drought is in the places where we grow wheat. So India produces 20% of the wheat in the world, if you were running those numbers. And they said, we're not giving anybody anything. We're keeping it all for ourselves. America has about 9%. We have about 25 billion bushels in storage, which is, I'm not sure, but I think it's about 6 months' supply. We used to have a 5-year supply. Why? Because America used to think biblically. We used to think biblically. We didn't think presumptuously. I know one time, I believe it was during the Obama administration, the wheat supply got down to 2 months. That's presumption. That's presumption. And so, we've got this perfect storm coming with the food supply changed. We got financial earthquakes we are feeling in America right now because of inflation, because of high gas prices that affect everything that's brought to your table. These have been brought on by the complications from the COVID policies of countries all around the world and the incompetence of many current administrations and government who many of them never have to face something like this. So we're even having trouble getting formula to our mothers who are nursing babies. And we seem to be in a stage of confusion. So, these are signs, all right? Signs. You know what signs are, right? You go down the road, it says, stop ahead. Well, you can pretend that sign wasn't there. Say, that has nothing to do with me. And just keep barreling through. See what happens. We have a wonderful God in heaven who gives us signs. Signs of the times. He gave Israel over 300. And they missed them all. And they crucified their Savior. They missed them all. We got to be careful. In Psalm 74, I'll read this for you. And verse number 9, it says, we see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. That's sad, wasn't it? What a sad commentary on his day. That was Asaph who wrote that psalm. He said, we don't see our signs. We don't have a single prophet among us that's telling us this is what's going to happen and for how long it's going to be. Now, I don't know. I hope this all changes. I hope I'm wrong. And but there's coming a day when there's going to be a measure of wheat for a penny. A day's wages. A sign of the time. So what should we do? Four things in closing. By the way, socialism's not the answer. The socialists they've starved a lot of people. They took over Venezuela, which was the most prosperous country down there in South America at one time, and 10 years later it was the poorest. And the average Venezuelan person has lost 20 to 30 pounds in the last 10 years. Now, some might think that's a good thing. I don't know. But we've got all these things, and they're kind of all just like a perfect storm going to just hit all at once. But number one, I want to say to you, act. Don't panic. Panic is never the reaction of a Christian who's living by faith. Never. You don't take a sermon like this and say, oh, I don't want to live anymore. No, we are supposed to act. And we are not supposed to panic. And I'll give you an idea or two on what to do here. Number two, we need to pray. The prayer of Matthew 6 and verse 11 may become very real to us someday. I don't know. But that's where our Lord taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It may come to that. I don't know. But I'm just trying to share with you just some things that I've seen. And I just feel an obligation in my love for you to say, hey, this might not always be the way it has been. We're having problems here in America with our weather, with our wheat production, and there's no supplier in the world. And wheat ultimately affects almost everything we eat. So pray. We need to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And let those words take on more meaning, because God does answer prayer. The number three, store. Turn back to Genesis chapter number 41 for a minute. One of the wisest men that ever lived was Joseph. I didn't say survival food, because then immediately they people think you're a kook. Or you're some kind of a nut or conspiracy theorist. I want to use a Bible word, store. Store, a Bible word. In Genesis 41, you know the story about Joseph and how he saved the day. And he says to Pharaoh, beginning at verse 35 and 36, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not through the famine. Notice the word store is a Bible word. And it is the wisdom of God given to Joseph through dreams that saved the day, that preserved not only the nation of Israel, but preserved the Egyptians. He said to Pharaoh, look, we got 7 years of plenty coming. It's going to be great, but it's not always going to be this way. Because after that is going to come 7 years of scarcity. And so store up now for then. You know, the Lord tells us in Proverbs, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, which having no guide or ruler or overseer, prepares her meat in the summer. And I don't know where the ants put it, but they survive every winter. They're always back. But they prepare beforehand. These little ants, I mean, how big are their brains? I don't know how big their brains are. But God says to the human race, go to the ant. They don't have any guide. They don't have any overseer. They don't have any churches or pastors. But they know, hey, now is the time that we should save up because winter's coming. And God says, go to them. Consider what they're doing. And so the word is store. And the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine. I want to encourage you to store food, because Jesus said in Matthew 24:7, there's going to be famines in the last days, and those are quoted by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed Jesus' prophecies, but everything he ever said in the past came to pass. Now, maybe they'll miss America. I don't know. I hope so. But maybe they won't. I don't know. I don't know. The weather doesn't look good in parts of this country. There's 7 states in severe drought, and 14 have somewhat drought conditions right now. Lake Mead's so low, they're finding all kinds of dead bodies down there that probably somebody threw them in there. So. Do Christians ever get hungry? You know, sometimes people will quote David. They'll quote David. And they'll turn it into a doctrine that we're all supposed to believe. And the verse they quote is this in Psalm 37, verse 25. He says, I have been young And now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And sometimes they will quote that verse and just say, that's a blanket cover verse for all of us for all time. When you keep it in your context, David oversaw the most prosperous kingdom Israel ever knew in its history. It was all downhill after him. There was nothing like David. 1.3 million soldiers, footmen, that's bigger than Russia's army today. All the food and the plenty and the riches and everything. Yeah, it was easy for him to say that. But you know, I don't know about you, but I always thought Paul was a pretty spiritual man of prayer. But Paul said this about his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. If you're still in Revelation, look at chapter 7 and verse number 6. Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 16, rather. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Now, what's this talking about? This is talking about the future glory of the redeemed. And the Lord promises that when we get on the other side, they shall hunger no more, nor thirst. Remember Elijah's day? I mean, you can just take David's day and say that's a blanket. All right, and if you want to claim that promise, go ahead. I'm not going to just interfere with your faith. You knock yourself out. Elijah had to be fed by ravens morning and night who brought him flesh and bread for perhaps 3 years. Maybe. I don't know. He had to drink from the brook Cherith, and he was the only one. There was 100 other prophets in caves who a good man named Obadiah fed them for years, probably, with bread and water. They survived. But boy, I'll tell you, you go and he goes to the widow and he says, hey, give me something to eat. And she says, all I got is this little bit of meal here and got a few sticks, going to have last meal, me and my son, and we're going to die. Even Ahab the king goes out on a search party saying, can we find any food, maybe just to save a few of our animals? That's how bad it was after 3.5 years, no rain. So you got to take the whole context of the Bible on any subject you study. And there have been times when people have been hungry. Good people. Good people. I haven't. I choose to fast often. Then I'm hungry. But that's a good discipline. It's a good discipline for all of us to do. So store up things. You might want to get yourself some plastic totes, rodent-proof, and pack them with ramen noodle soup. You can survive on that. Something you can survive on. Grandma Brown's baked beans. Can you say Grandma Brown's baked beans? Now, I don't know what you can say anymore and what you can't say. Everybody's offended by everything, so I don't know. And I'm not sure. You can get canned goods, and you rotate them, but get yourself a month's supply of food. I'm not trying to be kooky. I love you, and I just see that there's some things that maybe they're at the beginning, but they seem to be going in the direction of Revelation 6 and verse 6. And there's dry goods and canned goods that you can, at least you can live on them. You get some totes, in your garage, your tool shed or whatever, and rotate them and have something for a month or a few months or something like that until maybe the problem goes away and the food supply comes back. I don't know. But you might want to do that. A question to ponder. I'm almost done. Isaiah asked this very interesting question. In Isaiah 55 and verse 2, he says this, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" Isaiah's like, well, what's wrong with you people? Why don't you use your money on food? And that's a good question. Paul told Timothy something that is really, really anti-American. 1 Timothy 6:8, "Having food and raiment, let us be there with content." Can you imagine some American, being content with food and clothes? Can you try to find an American like that? Anywhere. I got food and clothes today, I'm content. Well, there might be some. But boy, we have a lot of stuff, don't we? We just have a lot of stuff. And it may come to the day where we really should invest in food. Invest in food. What did Jesus have? He had food and raiment. They took his raiment at the cross. But God fed him all of his days. He never had a pillow. Never had a house. But we may, I don't know where things are going. I have no idea. But when I saw this news report last week, I said, boy, that sounds biblical. That sounds prophetic. And maybe we should be ahead of everybody. And let me read, and last of all, prepare to meet your God. Four things. Act, don't panic, don't react. We're supposed to act as Christians. Nothing should terrify us. That's what Peter said. Not one thing should terrify us. No news that hits us should terrify us. We should act like Christians no matter what we face. With a God who's still omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable, and cares about us and loves us. We should act. We should pray. Give us this day our daily bread. We should store and say, boy, you know that story about Joseph in the Bible? I wonder if maybe God wants us to learn something from that. Or was that just for that day? We should store and focus on things like food and clothing. Those are the necessities of life. But then the last one is to prepare to meet your God. Because there's a lot of signs of the times that are happening, it seems, in this generation like never before. And prepare to meet your God. James said, in James 5 and verse 8, "Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Jesus is coming again. And he gave us a whole bunch of signs. Not so we could set the day and the hour, but so that we could know the season. He said to the Hebrews, "As ye see the day approaching." He would not have said that if we could not see the day approaching. And so this wheat thing, keep your eye on it. Keep your eye on those news articles. Study that out. You say, you know, I think the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh us. This is not Revelation 6:6, but this is something that might lead up to it. This weather might lead up to that. Inflation, boy, you talk about inflation. Giving a day's wages for enough nutrition for one day. Wow. Might lead up to that. Are you ready to meet the Lord? If the Lord should come today, would you go with him? Or would you be left behind? Would you meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord? Because you're saved, you're born again, and you know it. You've received God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior by faith. in repentance, sorrow over your sin, have you realized your lost condition and how you need a Savior? And have you trusted in the Lord? When you do, you're born again. At that moment, you accept Christ as your Savior. Into God's family, you become His child forever. And someday you'll miss this Revelation 6:6 stuff. But we'll have some hardships until then, won't we? Won't we? In this world, you shall have tribulation. I don't know where it's coming, but let's be prepared. Shall we bow for a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, today so much for your word that in a strange way comforts us this morning when we see the behavior of India. And we can't blame them for wanting to take care of their own people. And when we see the droughts and the severe weather and the staple of life maybe becoming more, help us not to panic, but to say, hey, my God said this would happen. And so my faith in His Word is stronger, and I'm going to trust Him. And so thank you, Lord, that we can find comfort from the Scriptures and not have to just shake our heads and wonder what is going on. We know. Lord, I pray for anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're not prepared to meet the Lord. And Father, I pray these signs would affect them. That as James said, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And that they would be saved and trust in the Lord as their Savior. And now we just thank you so much for another chance to be in the Bible. Bless the rest of the activities this Lord's Day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing, Jesus, I Come to Thee. And 543. Have you ever come to Christ as you are? You know, don't say, well, I got to clean up my life and my action and behavior. No, you can't. You can't. You just come to God as you are. He saves you and then He cleans you up. But have you ever come to the Lord just as you are? Maybe while we're singing, if you want to come to the front or to the back, and you don't know for sure if you're saved, man, get that settled. Just because you attend this church does not mean you're saved. This church doesn't save. It's Jesus who died on the cross for you. Come up to the front. I'd like to talk to you back there. Kelly's back there. He could talk to you. But as we stand together, before we eat, let's sing page 543. Jesus, I come to thee. And if you need to come and pray about anything or anybody, come to the altar and let's pray.